Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Tech Watch Radio, where we keep an eye on tech. Brought to you by Network Providers Incorporated, networkprovidersinc.com. If you want to check out the website and the news for our podcast, npitechguys.com gets that done. And before we get into the security discussions that we have related to passwords, as promised per last episode, Google Podcasts is shutting down, Jay.
Really?
And they say they're shutting down soon. They're urging users to move to YouTube Music. Sarah Perez with this piece. And they say Google's shutting down its podcast, they call it podcast app in the next several days. And the company has begun warning, hey, you got to go to YouTube. Anyway, I kind of find that interesting. What do you think of that, Jay?
I think it's interesting. I kind of saw it coming a little bit, I guess, but Google, they start up a lot of projects and shut them down even mature enough, I think, sometimes to say whether it's a failure or not. I mean, I look at Google Wave and just lots of different stuff that they've done.
But they get people hooked on things. Then you say, well, we're changing to this. The functionality isn't the same, you goofballs. I mean, come on. It's not the same. I don't want YouTube and a subscription and video when I'm just trying to do a podcast. I don't understand it.
I know.
But Google does this all the time. They're probably the most famous for it. Build it.
Certainly.
Get everybody hooked on it. Shut it down. They did that with RSS feeds, too.
I mean,
Google's hostile to RSS feeds. So are the browsers. I don't understand why they do this stuff.
It's crazy.
Anyway.
I don't know why they do it either.
Just know that if you're using that in any way, you're going to have to stop.
Yeah. There's
an interesting article that I saw. It says this: I stopped using passwords. It's great and a total mess. Jay, do you want to break this down a little bit for people that are going, what? How do you stop using passwords?
Yeah, so the author is, he's trying to switch to pass keys. That's the new thing on the horizon, right? Everybody's talking about pass keys instead of passwords. And, he says moving from passwords to pass keys requires a new mindset, in that this is going to be offering a method where you don't need to memorize how you're logging in or necessarily like the password to log in, but you tie it to a device. And so you still have to remember what device you logged in with. So if your passkey might be on your cell phone, or it might be on your laptop.
Yeah, but that's a horrible plan, because I always need to access something from a different device for different reasons.
I know. And what if your phone crashes? I mean, and all your passkeys are on your phone. Yeah, I don't think the passkeys is the right solution. And I see a lot of people trying to move to it really hard, but I don't think that it's the best solution. You've got the user experience isn't necessarily the best. They say that the technology is mature and that user interfaces are managing passkeys. Bitwarden is even trying to do this in their system. At least to me, that makes sense if you can put it in to something like Bitwarden, because that's going to show up on your phone and on your laptop and on your desktop. And
yeah, it's going to be it really Bitwarden becomes, in a sense, the device. Right,
right, exactly. But at that point, what's the difference in just using passwords? I don't see.
The only difference is when you do these pass keys, then it's made up by the system. We can get into the details in the Bitwarden article here in just a second, but it becomes then you get a long, really encrypted kind of a password that's not as easily hackable as the things people put in. That's the only real advantage that I see.
So what's really happening is with passkeys is, and this is just my opinion, and I'm certainly oversimplifying it, so the tech's not going to be necessarily correct, but what they're doing is it's the same thing as just doing what I said in a previous episode, which is just make sure you have a different password for everything, because your password gets encrypted and it becomes a long chain. Pass keys is basically kind of just generating a password for you, and you don't know what it is. They know what it is through cryptography, and if it matches to your device, then everything works out and you get logged into your system, and it's seamless for the user. But if you just let Bitwarden suggest a strong password for you and you save it, you never know what that password is. You could never recite it. Somebody couldn't beat it out of you if they wanted to, even. But you're just using your Bitwarden or whatever your password manager is to plug it in for you and get access to the site. I think it's the same thing in concept. I guess for people, if you are a person who is only uses a phone. That's really the only way you access the internet is on your phone, and you only use one device all the time. I guess that's going to be good for you, but how are you without something like
Bitwarden? When you lose the device and the device crashes or breaks, it ain't going to be good for you.
Right. I was just going to say, without
even
something like...
if you only use one device, it doesn't really help that much. Now, to me, the interesting thing about this is kind of the zero trust aspect of it. If you have a system-generated key and it's, you know, created on this algorithm, and you know, then nobody really has it. Even if somebody gets hacked, even if your passkey manager got hacked in a serious way, you know, hey, they couldn't use all those keys anyway, even if they had them, because of the encryption, because of the zero trust factor, because of, you know, multi-factor authentication kind of a thing. And, you know, you put it all together, and even if you get hacked, you can't use it. So there's some advantages, but I don't think stopping using passwords is great in a total mess. A total mess is not great, Jay, if you ask me. So I mean, I appreciate the headline for the article, but I'm going to kind of take issue with them on it.
Yeah, and I think tying it to a device is not a good idea. I mean, yes, if you have your phone, let's say you're on Apple and you're transitioning to a new phone because you bought the latest iPhone and your old phone's working properly and the screen's not broken where you can't use it, you can move all that stuff over and it's going to be a great seamless experience for you. But if you lose your phone or you drop it in the lake or you get stolen or whatever, you never get it back, you know, you're going to have a lot of trouble reaccessing all of these sites. But not only that, it comes back to also, you see these sites with super double encryption, you know, everything, they've got military grade encryption and we use pass keys, we don't use passwords. But then somebody goes, well, I forgot my password, and it emails them a link and they get right back into their account. I mean, it's like the weakest link. You know, there's a lot of that going on.
Part of the problem with password managers, I mean, I support them because I think they're the best solution we have to date. But even them, you know, to log into your password manager is a single password.
Right? I literally know users that they don't even keep up with their password. They'll just make a random password to access the site, and they will use forgot your password every time when they need to get back into that site.
I get it once in a while, and I probably do it more than I should, but I every day that's just not doable.
That's what some people live like, though.
Bitwarden's pass key for businesses, because I think it relates to this quite a bit, Jay.
Right.
Let's go ahead and talk about this. Do you know how this works or what their claim is?
You know, I don't, as far as the one for business, I haven't used it a ton.
So the idea, when we talk about the Bitwarden for business kind of discussion, or this is just in general, this passkey concept using Bitwarden, Network Providers Inc. has a big article on it today that just came out recently or whatever. And it says this: today's companies need some way to authenticate user access to protect their system and sensitive data from unauthorized access. Passwords are a common authentication method, but unfortunately, managing numerous passwords on a professional level just can be tough and it's not really sustainable. So Bitwarden's passkey feature for businesses makes it easier to incorporate passkeys and move to a passwordless authentication. Now listen, they say the Bitwarden functionality helps businesses easily implement passkeys while offering additional data security. Now they say, what is Bitwarden passkey management versus traditional passwords? This is kind of where the plot thickens a little bit. A password is usually a generated string of numbers, letters, symbols, etc. that people use online. All websites can support them. However, weak passwords are easy to hack and are susceptible to phishing and everything else. Passkeys are automatically generated using private and public cryptographic keys. They're phishing resistant, tough to compromise, work solely on select, in other words, specific websites. And they can include all kinds of things. Listen, including voice, face, and fingerprint recognition, Jay. And so that's kind of the big key here, is they're starting to move towards other factors, your eyeball, your fingerprint, your voice.
Because your device can do face ID.
But AI's already disrupted
ID
all that, Jay. I can get your eyeball, and I can AI create, you know, a picture of your eyeball, and I can AI do your voice, and I can, you know, is it far along enough yet to be? No, it's not. My fingerprint, my eyeball and everything is still mine, but it won't be long till, you know, fast enough AI-based computers can mock and fake that too, right?
Well, the tech only gets better. It always improves. It doesn't get worse. And the problem, even though we try to strengthen the problem, the tech usually keeps pace with it, and it's always that arms race.
Anyway, they say these passkeys are a higher degree of authentication and a higher degree of security standard. I generally agree. They're calling them enterprise-level passkey features. And I think there's some truth to that. But I think, again, that's just a temporary solution. Is this cat and mouse discussion, as we talked about last episode, continues. I don't think that's a long-term solution at all.
I don't know. I don't see passkeys gaining the traction that they thought they would. I think a lot of users look at it as just, you know, there are ways. So if you're using FaceTime, as I understand it, to log into a website, you're kind of using a passkey. Now, sometimes it's just putting in your password for you. But that's sort of a passkey sort of a way. And a lot of people do like that. It's very convenient. It's very fast. You don't have to remember anything. It authenticates you as a user. And so there are benefits to that. But as far as widespread adoption, it's a lot slower. It's been a lot slower than I think that they thought they would. When we first heard of passkeys, it was like, oh, man, you know, in another year, nobody's going to use a password.
Solved.
Anymore. Yeah, exactly.
We're done. Thank heavens we got this.
It hasn't seen that sort of adoption.
It's not even close.
No.
I honestly think, and this is my whole point, I mean, I think that the technology is becoming, what's the term? It's becoming mature. I think that's all true. But what I think is it's becoming outdated as fast as it's being adopted, Jay. I hate to tell you that, yeah. But I'm just explaining. So I'm not downing the efforts by Bitwarden, and I'm not saying we shouldn't make these efforts. I'm just telling you that, you know, resistance is futile to some degree when it comes to these kind of things. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on this ball for you. I don't know what the real answer is for security. I personally think at least the best answer right now is a hardware dongle of some kind that can act as your password manager. You'd have passwords or your passkeys all encrypted on that device, not even in the cloud, right?
Yeah, but man, people are going to lose that too. They're going to lose that more often than they will their cell phone.
They might. You're right about that.
They will, because they need their cell phone all the time. They'll only need that when they're authenticating or, you know, clocking in or logging into their stuff at work or whatever. And I mean, think about people that need to have a name badge at work, right? I mean, I don't know if you work with people like that, but how many times do they forget their name badge?
Because they can't get into work.
You know, it's just like, oh, man.
But, yeah, it's like, can I have a hall pass? They're going up to the lady at the front desk. Can I have a hall pass? I don't have my thing. You know,
People will forget that.
In my other pants.
If it's not biometric, like an iris or a face print or a fingerprint or something they're going to have with them, they're going to forget it again. They're going to not have it with them. They're going
to
lose it.
They're going to start to put a chip in your hand or on your body somewhere.
Yikes.
That's the only solution they're going to come up with. And I know that doesn't sound pleasant, and I'm not really here to get into the political ramifications of that.
I've read about that.
But I'm telling you, that's where we're headed, though, right?
Yeah, I hope not. I don't think you need a chip. I think there's plenty of biometrics already around.
Yeah, tell me the best way you think we can create security. Because right now I'm feeling so vulnerable, I can't even exist online. I don't even dare go online anymore, Jay.
I think a password manager with strong passwords, different password for every site, something like Bitwarden. You know, that's what I use. I used to use LastPass. I don't anymore. Bitwarden's a better solution.
Yeah, because it got hacked, huh?
Well, it's because it got hacked. It also got bought by the LogMeIn people. They kept raising the price every year, which they're known for. They really kind of dropped the ball on security after that. There was a lot of reasons. Also, the free version, for example, they nerfed it to where you could either use it on a phone or a desktop version. You couldn't do both. I mean, which I was paying for it anyway, so I didn't mind. But people I would support it, and I would say, hey, you need to try this. Well, they would get on their free version, and they'd be like, well, what, I can only have this on my phone? And you can only transfer it back and forth, like maybe three times a year if you wanted to put it on your computer. And it was just a mess. And whereas Bitwarden is open source, the free version for personal versions, free forever. You never need, you know, they're making their money supporting enterprise and corporate. And there's a family model and individual module. I pay individually for it. It's like $10 a year or something just to support them, because I think they're doing good work. But, and this isn't an ad for Bitwarden or anything. I'm just saying that this is what I use personally.
Yeah.
And I think
NPI wrote an article about it too. So it's, you know,
yeah,
it's a great password manager. I personally use Keeper because that's what we settled on before Bitwarden became a big thing. Back when you're using LastPass, I was using Keeper Security.
Right.
Don't go to keeper.com, by the way. If you do, folks, how do I say this on the radio politely? It is a cup for women's cycles. Okay. So don't go to keeper.com. Go to keepersecurity.com.
Good to know.
If you want Keeper. But Keeper and Bitwarden are probably two of the best password managers I know of. A lot of them are based on zero trust, and they're very good. And what you got to do is get a very unique, long, complicated password that is your password manager password.
Master password,
and
right?
Yep, and you got to make sure that's really secure and safe, and then that's the biggest entry, and then everything else has got to be unique passwords. A lot of these password managers now are building in tools, too, to query the dark web and say, have I been hacked, or are any of my passwords out there a problem? And they warn you if you have duplicate passwords or too similar of passwords or too short or too simple of passwords.
And all that's helpful.
They do a pretty good job at helping you kind of get your act together, right?
That's true, and that is good for the user to help them along and say, hey, you know, why don't you clean up these, or let's make these a little bit stronger when you have time. And that's always good, and that's another great reason to run it.
And I kind of was joking and saying I'm just afraid to get online now because it makes you feel that way. It really does. It makes you feel vulnerable. It makes you feel, you know, like you've been mistreated. Don't think of security as it's like one and done, and don't think of it as you'll never get it done. Think of it as it's a line upon line process, and slowly but surely your knowledge grows. You slowly but surely use some of these tools, and pretty soon you get more and more hardened in terms of your security, and that's what we want. And so think of it like that. Just say, look, I'm going to start using a password manager. Great. Now I'm going to look through my passwords and make sure they're not all the same. Great. Now I'm going to make sure that my passwords are true, long, you know, real strong password. Great. Now I'm going to check the dark web once a month with this button, and I'm going to learn how to, you know, make sure that I haven't been hacked or there's no problems. And think of it as a line by line. We're going to just progress on this thing and do better all the time. Plan. And if you think of it that way, you know what? You're not going to be the low-hanging fruit pretty soon. Somebody else will be. And then, hey, hopefully they can be encouraged to do the same. Speaking of that, Robinhood has a new credit card. They're going after the Apple card big time.
They are.
I guess it's the ability to deal with cash and tech perks and everything else. TechCrunch has this piece, Jay.
Yeah, they have come out with a new card, and it's pretty impressive. So 8 months after they acquired a startup called X1 for $95 million, they're announcing their new gold card. Now, in order to have this gold card, you have to pay for Robinhood's gold edition in their brokerage app, which is like $5 a month or maybe $50 a year. So there's a little bit of discount if you do it annually. However, here's some of the interesting points I'll try to go over on this gold card. Users will get 3% cash back on all categories. This includes restaurants, groceries, everything else, and 5% cash back when booking travel at Robinhood's new travel portal. But 3% back on a card is pretty good. I mean, you don't see that very often that much. Or if there is, it's limited time, or it's only on restaurants or something like that. You know, it's not like, you know, you're not getting 3% on your power bill and things that you're running through there. So that's kind of cool. Another interesting thing that they're doing, and I like this, as a father of younger kids, some of them teenagers, they will have the ability to provide family cards for each member. Each member will get their own unique card. They're going to have a special app for this, for managing it, besides the Robinhood app. And you can set limits, and you can control the cards. You know, you may even be able to turn them on and off if you need to, but you can have up to five family members having their own card under your account, which will be kind of controllable. And another interesting thing is, I've seen systems that will do this, but again, they're usually $10, $20 a month. You can create virtual cards for anytime you want to make a transaction. You can just create a new virtual card, put it into that transaction. Let's say you're signing up for whatever, Disney Plus or something like that, and you need a temporary card, you want to sign up for it. But maybe you don't trust them. Maybe you don't trust that it's going to be easy to opt out or say no when you're done. You can give them this virtual card, and if at any point you don't want to pay anymore and you can't figure out how to shut it off, or they won't shut it off for some reason, you can just click the button and disable that card. And it can be a one-time use only. So those are kind of cool things.
So in their defense, they're gaining real ground in terms of security, in terms of flexibility, in terms of letting your family and your children use cards, one-time use cards, which is really good too, because I can start to basically put all my transactions on a given card, and every 3 months or 6 months, just replace it and put a new card if I want to. I can start to put different cards on different services, and if I get hacked, it's only one card that's been hacked, nothing else. There's a lot of advantages to this, but it takes a ton of babysitting, though.
Yeah, it does. Another feature that's kind of cool. I mean, there's no fees on the card itself, but there is that fee of the gold part of Robinhood. But when you do have that, then all of your cash that's in Robinhood allows you to make 3% APR on that cash that's just sitting there if you're not doing anything with it or actively investing it. You can also, there's a feature of, like, Robinhood has started up a retirement account that you can do. It's an IRA. And they will do, if you have this gold membership, they will do 3% matching of anything that you put into it, which is pretty interesting. There's a lot of interesting features. They're really...
It sounds too good to be true, Jay.
It almost does. I agree with that. And I'm sure that that'll probably... They'll temper this at some point, and some of these features will go away. But they're looking to be the best card in the industry. And in recent years, that's kind of been the Apple card. Everybody's like, wow, man, I can't believe there's so many features. This card is stunning in all the different things that they will have and that they're pulling out. Yeah. They're pulling out all the stops to have the best card in the industry right now. I think it's cool. I may even be one of their first customers. We'll see.
I think it's great. I got a problem with the Robinhood name, though, man. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Robinhood supposedly stole back all the, I guess, reverse thievery, right?
Yeah.
But I just kind of think about that and just still kind of go, okay, but, you know, one person steals something and the next person steals it. Let's say this. Somebody takes my money. Then Robinhood steals it back, right? Is that the plan? So didn't Robinhood steal from the Steelers?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he stole from the rich, gave to the poor. That's kind of the old
Yeah, but it was mine. Or... Now I don't have it either way because it got the rich, you know, took it and then stole it and gave it to the poor, and I still don't have it, right?
Also to mention, this is all their stuff is FDIC insured up to $2.25 million. A lot of tech names have weird stuff. I mean, there's lots of look at GoDaddy for a domain registrar, I'm sure we could think of more examples with more time, but there's a lot of things that have weird names. But Robinhood as a company, I think, has really
it's very credible.
They've strived to put not just investing, but a lot of financial things that used to be out of the average person's
out of reach
purview.
And super complicated. They put it on the kitchen table.
Exactly.
And they've delivered it in such a way to really deliver some value to we the people. And I think that's good.
Credit
cards are starting to lower fees. Real estate agents used to get paid a ton of money, 6% on transactions. Now that's going reducing. And so hopefully we can stop a lot of these middlemen that are just making things so expensive. And I know that's not the only problem, but I like to see this, Jay.
I remember
like competition and driving down costs and driving out the middleman, right?
Yeah. I remember when I first got an E-Trade account, and just to make any transaction, there was like a $7 fee on any transaction, whether you bought, sold, whatever. They had that on there. Robinhood really pioneered this. We're going to be able to make our own money on the back end of this, and we're going to be able to make transaction or feeless transactions for people buying and selling stocks on our platform. And now almost everybody does that. E-Trade and all the other brokerage accounts, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of them now do that. And Robinhood was a pioneer in this, and they've really done a lot of good, I think. And I think it's pretty cool. I like to see them innovating. I like to see this out here, and I just thought we'd bring it to your attention.
Couldn't agree more. Fantastic stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. That's our claim to fame. NPITechGuys.com. If you want to check out the podcast, share them with your friends, etc. Click the switch button and you get the show, the notes that are up on Network Providers, Inc. You got a lot of stories that we promote that you can keep an eye on, too. A lot of it relates to security. You know what? We are a full IT service company at NetworkProvidersInc.com. We want to help you with your security. We want to help you with planning, with strategic vision, with saving money. We run a help desk and a whole lot more. So you know what? We want to be your IT partner anywhere in the country. We're glad to help and can be involved in solutions for you. If you just want strategic guidance, that's fine. If you want to know what software to implement, hey, I need to do this. Sam, what's the best solution we can have? You know what? We have consultants that can help with all that. You say, hey, I've got complicated routers or networking that I need help with. We can do it. If you need security, we can do it. It's all about having somebody you can trust in the IT business. NetworkProvidersInc.com is here to serve you. And one of the ways we do so is with the MPI TechGuys.com podcast. For Jay Harrison, Sam Bushman, and the whole Network Providers Inc. team, thank you so much for listening. Share the broadcast with your friends. Tell everybody about it. Get it on your radio station, will you please? NPITechGuys.com. We keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. Make it a great tech day, will you? Hey, thanks.